I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Veterans are who we are, what we talk about, who we fight for. This podcast sheds light on real issues facing our veterans. It informs the uninformed, it celebrates their triumphs, and provides hope to those fighting a silent battle. This is Upholding Valor. Hi and welcome. I'm Jill Atwood, Director of Communications for the VA Salt Lake City Healthcare System and your host for Upholding Valor. Today you are really going to hear about dedication to the mission, a team of folks that is so focused on reaching our unseen veterans, those living on the streets, those in shelters who need a hand up. And now with COVID, things could be potentially worse for those folks. Veteran homelessness is not acceptable. I could give you numbers, but I'm just not going to go there. One homeless veteran is too many. And joining me right now is a team of folks that I'm just so impressed by. Joining me is Mitch Harris. He is a social worker with the homeless program here at VA. Sam Vincent, who is a mental health nurse practitioner with the homeless program. And Alyssa Firmage, who is also a nurse practitioner with primary care and part of the homeless team. Thanks so much, guys, for being here. I appreciate it. Okay, I want to start with Mitch and Alyssa because you were actually out today trying to reach and talk to some of our veterans. What is that day like? How did today go? Did you find what you were looking for? Alyssa, let's start with you.
Yeah, I think it was one of our really successful days. We put a lot of planning into. We're trying to make outreach a little bit more organized. And so we kind of put people on the schedule before that we want to see and that we want to reach out to. Try to make a plan and call them before. Sometimes it doesn't work out, probably like half the time. Doesn't necessarily work out.
Right.
We miss them for whatever reason. But today we had a plan to see many and we got all four of them. And it was a really, I think, successful day to have a good conversations with several veterans about some big issues that are going on in their lives.
So are these veterans housed?
Yes.
The ones that you reach? And so talk to me about that because they're in different stages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what we do is we try and plan our outreach to different sites and go to different areas. So for instance, on Monday, we go to a homeless shelter and then another homeless resource area, the Wiegand Center. Tuesdays, we go to different scattered site housing places. And Wednesday, today, we were at Freedom Landing, which is a housing site down there by the airport.
Yes, I know it well. I've been there a few times.
Yeah, and so we try and do these things on a weekly or monthly basis so that the veterans know to find us there. They know if they have any medical issues, they can plan on seeing us there and getting some of those medical needs addressed or mental health needs when Sam comes with us. So like Alyssa said, it was a really successful visit this morning. There were quite a few veterans who had some medical needs that really hadn't been addressed in quite some time. They had just moved into Freedom Landing, gotten off the streets. And so really just establishing primary care for the first time in a couple of years probably.
Any, when you say issues, Alyssa, you mentioned issues. So primary care, what else do you find with some of these veterans that we can assist with? Say in the Freedom Landing setting, and then we can move to if you're talking to them for the first time on the street.
Yeah, so Freedom Landing, they probably have a few more resources than like another site for veterans. They have a food pantry on site and things like that.
Nice.
But in the homeless program, we also have a clothing closet, a small number of clothes for veterans. We have our own food pantry that we can bring food to veterans, things like that. And then they also have case management on site at Freedom Landing. So they have case managers there to help them make appointments, pay rent, go grocery shopping, anything like that. But there are a lot of other sites that don't have as many resources as that. And
sure.
Yeah, we haven't even touched on the mental health work that Sam does, because he also goes down to Freedom and other sites with us and does those kind of things as well.
Well, why don't we talk about each of your roles, because you all have different titles.
Yeah.
So, Mitch, why don't we start with you, and then Alyssa, and then Sam, you can jump in.
Yeah, so I'm the social worker for the Homeless PACT team. That's the Homeless Patient Aligned Care team. And I try and help. I take care of a lot of medical social work needs, so that could be advanced directives, goals of care, home health, anything like that, or any other social needs that come up. But I spend probably most of my time planning and trying to organize and coordinate these outreach visits, these clinics that we do. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of organizational stuff goes into that to try and allow Alyssa and Sam to do the amazing work that they do and finding these veterans and looping them into the care they need.
Alyssa?
So I'm the primary care end of the provider piece. I feel like there's social work and then there's Sam, who's mental health, but I'm the primary care provider. And
gotcha.
So just like any other place that would have a primary care provider or a PACT team, I'm kind of the assigned PCP for all of the people that are on HPACT. So I go in and do full assessments. So just like you would go into a doctor's office, they'd ask you about everything. I do all of that stuff and get their back history, and also try to tie in if they have social needs, to try to bring Mitch into it or one of their housing case managers. And then for mental health needs, we refer a lot of people to Sam too. And so I'm kind of the care coordinator and funnel people around, kind of like a normal primary care provider would be, but in a totally different context outside of a clinic.
I was going to say, how do you do it outside of a clinic?
Oh, I have a fanny pack here. You cannot see it, but I also have a fishing vest.
Okay.
That I have all my
You
supplies
are a one
in.
Man band.
Yes, and then a nice big backpack that carries everything from like a little portable ultrasound to check things to all the vitals stuff. And yeah, I carry everything with me. I am a little one-woman show.
She looks like she's headed out on safari when she goes to work.
Most people say that. Yep. I'm about to like get, you know, some official gear for myself.
I think it's super cool. Do you love it?
I love it. And I actually love getting new gear. I have many carabiners because I'm like, oh, I could hang like a pulse oximeter from here. Or I could put like my blood draw supplies over here.
A Sharps container
is hanging from my backpack from a carabiner.
Yeah.
We'll work on getting you updated gear and equipment.
It's actually okay for now, but you know, we're always open to getting more help with that stuff. And a nurse we work with is an RN, and he took me up on my offer to get him a fishing vest too. So we kind of look like a little pair when we go out, except he's like 6'4" and I'm 5 foot nothing.
We need to go to one of those fly fishing places and get a sponsorship for you.
Yeah, actually, everyone thinks I'm going fishing, and most of our veterans like to fish or have a goal of going fishing, so it's like a conversation starter.
I love it.
I feel
it.
Like I did a good thing.
An icebreaker.
They want you to take them with you.
Yes, yeah. You know, if we had a van, maybe we would.
Well,
don't want a fishing trip.
Oh, we'll talk about that more. Okay, so Sam.
Yeah.
We are not ignoring you. Okay, I'd love to know your piece
Finally.
To this puzzle. Yes. What is your role with our veterans?
I'm a mental health nurse practitioner, so my role is to do the mental health evaluations and manage the mental health medications for our veterans. You can imagine that connecting to traditional mental health care can be a challenge because of transportation, communication, trust, and rapport. And it's nice to be on a team with Alyssa and Mitch, because I don't have to approach people as just one person who's trying to shrink their head. I'm
right.
part of a team, and I sort of gain some trust by association with these guys and with all the case managers.
How do you guys know where to go to find these folks? I mean, I know that we've placed some in housing, mm-hmm. and you know where they are, but what about the rest of them, the ones that, you know, maybe standing on the street corner or holding a sign or just have completely slipped through the cracks?
Yeah, it's a huge coordinated effort between us and our community partners. We have some really great social workers in the homeless program who have some close ties with people out in the community. If they see somebody holding a sign that's panhandling that says homeless veteran, mm-hmm. we have people who will let us know, hey, Mr. So-and-so is on this corner at this time, and then people go try and find him.
Wow. It's grassroots.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a lot of effort, and there are a lot of people involved, but it's everybody involved has the same kind of passion, and we're all on the lookout for these guys. There's also, like I said, we go to shelters and other sites regularly. So we check in with shelter staff. We check the homeless database for the state, kind of see where veterans are checking in to see if they're accessing resources in one place or the other, letting us know where they're at.
What are some of the strangest places you've had to go to find veterans?
Well,
you guys smile because I know there's stories.
Before the pandemic, Alyssa and I were contacted by the the downtown police, who work with closely with social workers on a team to try to bring more compassionate, service-friendly policing services to Salt Lake City. And there was a veteran who they knew was living up in the foothills above Warm Springs Park, and they said he was in a cave, which usually doesn't literally mean a cave. In this case, it did literally mean a cave.
Wow.
The police drove us up there in a little side-by-side, a couple miles up a dirt road, and then the cave, Alyssa,
still
was
about a mile away,
mile of a walk. It was the remains of... what had it formerly
been? Like an old kiln like that?
Or a mile kiln?
A lime kiln.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How long had he been living there?
He's still there.
He's been up there for a couple of years.
He's been there for years.
He's very comfortable up there. He thinks it suits him.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you've tried to change his mind and get him into housing and get him resources, but some just choose.
We do. We have the talks every time we see him. About options, and he's considering options, but still for now comfortable where he's at.
Yeah. He goes and visits a library regularly, so we met him once at one of the library branches.
Okay.
Drew some blood there, gave him some vaccines, try to keep in contact. Mitch tries to keep in contact with the community partners to see if there's anything that he needs.
Sure.
But he's an interesting gentleman to begin with, super talented. He's an artist, and he makes music, and he collaborates online with lots of people across the country and makes pretty cool music.
Yeah,
like, you can look him up online. He goes by, you know, a certain name.
Wow.
And I don't think anyone on the other end online knows that he's like a veteran in his 60s, a white male veteran in his 60s.
He composes hip-hop music in a cave and then uploads it from the library.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's really
cool. I have had it on in the background while I'm working sometimes.
It's good background work music.
Yeah, it's really good.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So once you connect with these veterans and say, you know, aside from the man in the cave, because he seems satisfied with his life right now, he's making some good music, but others that you would find on a street corner, I mean, what's the first step for them? How do you get them connected? How do you get them with a roof over their head?
Yeah.
Et cetera.
It can be a really long and complicated process, but the first step is kind of engagement and letting them know what resources are out there. One of my favorite stories is there was a veteran that we came across who wasn't in the shelter at the time, but we helped him get into shelter. He had served, it was a very short time, and he wasn't aware that he was eligible for VA benefits. He had some health concerns. He had really trouble walking. He used a walker. And then our outreach workers were so fantastic. They helped him fill out his means test, got him enrolled. He went from literally homeless on the street to being in the shelter, to being in Valor House, to being in Freedom Landing in about 2 months.
Wow.
And in the course of this, we got him established with medical care. He saw urology. He saw optometry. He, like, really from, like, night and day. And so the first step is engagement and just letting them know what resources are out there.
And they have to want it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They have to do their part.
Mm-hmm.
Still engage him. I feel like there's a lot of little touch points we make, just like sometimes my medical visit's just a hi, how are you? Melissa, and we just kind of do small talk, but it's a lot of engagement.
Yeah.
And sometimes they take a really long time to come around.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there's also vocational opportunities as well.
Mm-hmm.
Getting them, you know, becoming productive members of society again. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, it's just kind of like along this process, right? Like, there are some guys who they just need the leg up and then get into housing, get into services. And then next thing you know, they're in voc rehab and they're working in CWT or getting employment. And then we've had a lot of successful graduation stories where someone does all those things, they get a full-time job, then all of a sudden they're over income for the homeless program, and they're able to get their own housing and live this independent lifestyle. It happens really frequently in the homeless program because we have so many dedicated staff, and letting veterans know that, one, we care, and that also there are all these choices for them, these resources.
Yeah.
And it takes time for a lot of them. I think Alyssa said sometimes we need to let them know that we care and that we're there for them if they're ready, if they're wanting to make that change. But yeah, it's a really great thing to see.
We also have in the homeless program an employment specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Who kind of does community employment specialist or something. Mm-hmm. So she's also always available for the veterans that are interested in engaging in work. And then there's the transitional work therapy program. So there's lots of opportunities just even beyond our little medical mental health team that we collaborate within the VA to get services for people that are interested in working.
Yeah.
Sam, this next question's for you, and it's kind of a big question, but why are veterans homeless? What happens? How do they get to that point? And I'm certain there's a mental health component there.
Yeah, of course there is a big mental health component. It's the same reasons as anyone else is homeless. just inaffordability of housing right now, which is worse than ever. The downtown shelter a couple of years ago, a lot of people know, was closed, and now it's just leveled ground, and the resource centers were spread further away from downtown Salt Lake, which made it kind of difficult for people to access some of the important resources to get out of homelessness.
Right.
Mental health for our veterans, you can imagine how severe PTSD impairs someone's ability to go through all the steps required to get back on their feet. The VA is so resource rich. Alyssa and I both worked at the 4th Street Clinic before coming up here to the VA. So being able to, like Mitch was talking about, welcome a veteran into our service and then start going through the list of everything they might possibly need. And to some degree, we are able to offer that here, mm-hmm. which is such a luxury as a provider.
I'm thinking that substance abuse issues factor in as well. And how can we help those folks struggling in that particular lane? I mean, do they have to be clean to get into housing, or are we doing the housing first model? Because I know substance abuse is a huge problem with some of our homeless veterans.
We're very much housing first. And I'm glad you brought that up, because once in a while an article appears in one of the news outlets suggesting otherwise.
Right.
And substance abuse has never kept a veteran from getting housed. We, in fact, do a huge amount of work after housing to try to help with that. Unlike in the rest of the community here at the VA, referring a veteran for treatment for substance abuse is very doable. We have a huge amount of resources for all level of treatment, whether someone wants inpatient, like hospital-based residential treatment, or in intensive outpatient treatment, which is, a few hours every day, down the spectrum to just touch points and conversations and exploration of motivation, whatever stage at which someone's at, however much energy they're ready to put in towards recovery. We have a match for that.
Let's talk COVID for a while. So, I mean, we've all kind of lost the last year, and we've lost a lot of our veterans, whether it's just, primary care, mental health, et cetera. What impact have you seen on homeless veterans during this time?
It's been as difficult as it has been for, the general population, homeless veterans have probably been some of the hardest hit. We're talking about veterans who usually don't have a phone, they don't have any means of transportation, and as COVID kind of unfolded last spring, all these resources that, aside from the VA, but community resources kind of shut their doors,
Social Security,
no others.
No one could even get into Social Security.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that, yes.
And so it was really difficult. And as we tried to figure out in the early stages of the pandemic how we could continue to access these veterans and provide services to them, it was a challenge because, we're trying to, of course, keep ourselves safe because we can't provide care if we're not healthy. but also realizing that these veterans are still out there. They're not really having a way to let us know where they are or let us know what they need. And so it was a really difficult time, especially in the first month or two of COVID.
Yeah, because that's when the real unknown was happening and everybody was scared.
Yeah.
But let's fast forward. I mean, you're still doing the work. You're still out there. You're still reaching them, even though it's harder. And let's talk about the COVID vaccinations, because our homeless veterans need those vaccinations as well. So how did you plan that and get to them?
That was Mitch.
I feel like that was all Mitch. So much, you guys. I'm sorry.
Stop doing so much. Be good at your job.
Yes, Sam. You need help. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But yeah, let's talk about vaccinations.
I think, you know, earlier in the year, towards like January, February, as we were getting the vaccines here on campus, we started having conversations about planning some kind of clinic or something to get the vaccinations out to the homeless veterans. And word came down from leadership, and we put a plan together, and so we set up a number of clinics in the community at four or five different sites, and probably 6 weeks of planning went into it, and it's probably most of what I did all day, every day while I was at work. And so trying to figure out which veterans were where, how many veterans we had in each location, how we could notify them where we were going to be, gauging interest and seeing how many vaccines we needed to bring, and then kind of day of just executing it, you know, myself, Alyssa, Sam, other nurses in the homeless program would go to these sites. And it was probably a 6 week process where, you know, one day we were at one site, we'd go through and vaccinate, you know, 20 to 30 veterans. The next day, same story. Wednesday, same story. Thursday. And we did that for 4 weeks, and then it was time to turn around and do the second doses again.
Sure.
So it was a lot of tracking and planning and organizing, but the response was amazing from the veterans. Like,
yeah,
I was really stunned by how many kind of leapt at the opportunity to get the vaccine.
Yeah. And what types of interactions were you able to have with them during that time?
You're not wrong. We were able to take advantage of people coming in for the vaccinations to reconnect with people we hadn't seen throughout the whole pandemic, right, Alyssa?
Yeah, we got a list of them, and I'd review every chart and then kind of see who needed to see a nurse or me or social worker or Sam. And so we kind of got it mobilized where basically everyone who came in to get a vaccine was also getting either a nurse or a provider visit as well.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Okay, a few things I'm going to wrap up with some sort of big picture questions, because I could talk to you guys all day. You're impressive. What's the common reason you hear from veterans as to why they don't want services? The hesitancy that you talk about, like what stops them from taking advantage of the benefits that they have earned and so deserve?
You know, one of the ones I hear a lot is someone else deserves it more than me. There's a lot of veterans who feel like I can still do some things for myself, and their independence is really important to them, and they feel like, you know, this is a precious resource, what you guys have, and I'd rather that somebody who needed it even more than me could have it.
I do hear that a lot. Do you hear the same things?
Yeah, I hear a lot of that. I also hear, you know, people have some stories where they may have encountered a bad experience in the past, so there's some distrust of the government in general.
Sure.
Maybe.
I do want to let veterans know, because working in public affairs and communications, you do hear that from veterans. But what you need to know is the VA is only as strong as the veterans who use the system. So if you don't use the system, it goes away. The funding goes away. So I always tell that to a humble World War II Vietnam veteran who's just not wanting to use the system because they think someone who, you know, may have lost a leg or is less fortunate than them deserves it more. But not the case. Not the case at all. Every veteran who's served deserves the benefits if they are eligible. Okay, last question. Do you think it's getting better? Are we making a dent in the homeless veteran situation?
I certainly think so. I was visiting with one of our community partners at one of the shelters a few weeks ago, and she was saying, from their perspective, how close we are to getting to ending veteran homelessness effectively. Of course, there's always going to be guys kind of transitioning in and out of housing, but for the units,
sure.
for the units we have allotted for HUD-VASH vouchers and things like that, we're really close. I think HUD-VASH voucher utilization is over 90% right now.
Remind people what HUD-VASH is.
So HUD-VASH is a collaboration between the Department of Housing and Urban Development and Veterans Affairs. And so essentially what happens is veterans who qualify for HUD-VASH, who are literally homeless or chronically homeless, they receive a Section 8 voucher. And so they pay up to 30% of their income towards rent. And they also receive a mental health clinician, a social worker, as their housing case manager. So that case manager can help them maintain their housing, work on mental health, do some early groundwork on substance use, really addressing whatever needs that veteran has.
Gotcha.
And so I do think we're making a difference. And, you know, you asked if, you know, what are some reasons veterans are wary or not using VA services? And kind of similar to what Alyssa had said, that there might be some bad experiences or maybe some bad stories in the press that get out there and kind of make things sound bad. But
that's why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah. And I will say that
constantly, you know, battling it,
working with Alyssa and Sam, who are two of the most extraordinary providers we could ask for, we've engaged some really kind of, you know, unsure or upset veterans. And to watch how both of these providers build trust and kind of win these veterans over and see that, you know, the VA really cares about them and provides the most exceptional care, it's really been an amazing thing to see.
I would add that every single veteran who comes onto our radar is staffed by our homeless team. And at the end of that meeting, every single veteran that's staffed has a housing plan.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the funnel starts with people holding a sign on the off-ramp of the freeway, and like Mitch said, the community partners who alert us that there might be a veteran, and our outreach people that go out and meet them and talk to them. That's one of the gateways, but all of the gateways come together with a meeting 3 days a week where mm-hmm. we talk about the veterans who need housing, and there's a plan for every one of them by the end of that meeting.
Alyssa, aside from you need a couple more fishing vests, let's be real. Like, what could this team really used to be more effective? Because it's got to be challenging.
Yeah.
Talk about the need for maybe a vehicle.
I have had a dream for a van, an outreach van. We do kind of do, you know, street medicine. We do home visits. We go into places where typically even home health nurses won't go. There can be, you know, stuff out and about. It's cluttered. There's not a lot of space. There's not a lot of privacy. They can be small units or even out at the resource centers, at the shelters. There's not necessarily a They want everything to be open, and so there's glass,
sure.
and everyone can see everything that's going on. So for like a medical or a mental health visit, especially for physical exams, it's not necessarily probably comfortable
yeah.
for the veterans to have, you know, be exposed in that way. And so having a van would be nice to be able to invite people into a space that is more
yeah.
private and also mobile to be able to reach more people.
We could do more outreach to the big camps around Salt Lake.
Yeah,
now.
There are many growing camps around,
I've
tents
seen
around.
Them.
And so being able to just have more than a fishing vest would be nice.
Yeah, we're going to throw that out into the universe. I mean it. I want to work on that for this team. Before we go, so if someone's listening and they know of a veteran who's homeless and they see them routinely, what number should they call to get in touch with you guys, or where should they go?
Yeah, so any veteran can present to the lobby of Building 16 during regular business hours, Monday through Friday, kind of 8 to 4 p.m., 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and ask to speak with the homeless provider of the day. We can also direct them to the Homeless Outreach Extension, which is 2746.
Okay.
So 801-582-1565, extension 2746, and speak to one of our amazing outreach workers. But really, there's a no wrong door approach to getting in the door. If you speak with anybody in the homeless program or anybody throughout the hospital, just say, hey, I'm a homeless veteran, I know a homeless veteran. Most of the time they get directed over to Building 16.
Or even in the shelters that
yeah.
you work with.
Mention yep. it at any of the shelters.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, there's going to be a social worker there to figure out what's going on and figure out a plan for you.
Mitch, Sam, Alyssa, thank you so much. You guys are awesome.
Thank
I
you.
Didn't really realize everything that you've done and continue to do. So thank you. for what you do.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
And thanks for joining us today for Upholding Valor. Stay safe, take care of each other, and be kind. This is Jill Atwood. I am a VA employee, Army veteran, and veteran of Desert Storm, and this is very personal to me. There is no greater mission than to serve and fight for those who fought for us. Thanks for listening, and thanks for caring. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe or rate us, or better yet, tell a vet and tell a friend to tune in by texting veterans to 57500 or go to kslpodcast.com/veterans. VA is honored to serve you. Talk to you next time.